And we'll get started back in Hebrews again. And we are still in the 10th chapter, which the 10th chapter is quite several more verses than some of the other chapters have been. But we made it up to chapter 31 in the last study, and so we'll start with this. Hebrews 10:32. And tonight's study is the 19th study in Hebrews, and this is December the 12th, 2018. I think I've got it right. I'm not sure, but
well, it is the 12th.
Generally speaking, lately it seems like I'm either a day early or a day late.
It's a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, that's the way it works. But it's been a long time since we had a study in Hebrews, and I have really enjoyed sitting down and going through this again, and to realize or re-realize maybe a lot of the things that we went over before that had kindly moved on in my mind to some extent that, you know, it's good to recall. And, of course, this is where we're going to pick up with the study tonight. Paul is talking about the call to remembrance. And verse 32 through 37 gives us this understanding that it's patience in view of the promise. And you know, all down through Scripture, and it's not just Paul's writings that's that way, but it's, I think, God-inspired words that tells us that we need patience, because as little as we think about it, quite often we need to wait on God's plan and purpose to be brought around to show us and to give us understanding as to where we are in a situation concerning His will and purpose. And patience is always a required virtue of those who believe God. And I think that's part of the building blocks of faith. That if you have faith in what God has said, then you need patience, and I need patience to wait till it comes about and to take place. It's just that simple. God is going to do it on His timetable.
Mm-hmm.
It's His plan, and He's carrying out His will and His plan. And so, and then the promise, you know, and a lot of people says, well, you know, Christ was promised way, way back. Well, it was. But eventually, in God's time and on His timetable, Christ showed up. And those people were honored. And I'm going to tell you why they were honored. They were honored because not only could they hear God, they could see God. And they were the only ones that ever got to see a part of the Godhead, was the ones that were there when Christ was on the earth, and especially when He started His teaching and preaching. And so that's another building block of faith, if you want to stop for a minute and give it a little thought. Because even Adam and Eve in the garden, when God walked with them, they heard His footsteps. They didn't see Him because they couldn't see Him. But they heard His voice. and they heard his word. That's another building block of faith. And we're getting right down close to the faith chapter. And so I'm just going to make the statement right straight out to you that we're kind of at a disadvantage in a sense because we have to take the word of God by hearing and by reading or understanding because we cannot see God. We have never seen God. We can feel him in our heart and in our being through the Holy Spirit, but that's not seeing. We can see what he has done for us, but that's after the fact. If it is a promise, and if it is made to us, or even the people that were coming up through the Old Testament book, when the prophets prophesied, many times they were dead and gone long before it came into effect. Either they were killed or they just died, one of the two, because the people would get, you know, they didn't like the God spokesman telling them what was, you know, coming down the pike, and sometimes they didn't live very long. But the fact is, that's all we have, is to hear not just the word of God, but the words of God. And God spoke, you know, he spoke to Moses basically face to face, or as close as that could be. But he spoke and people heard at times. But he doesn't do that anymore. The Holy Spirit does that for us. And the fact is that we have the word before us, and the word was written for sinners. And we're all sinners. And that's another building block of faith. We're a sinner saved by grace. How great it is. Now, what a gift it is to us that we have that thought and that understanding in our being, and that we have and feel the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and it directs our mind. That's our GPS. You know, we went several thousand years, almost 6,000 years, without knowing what our GPS really was. The Spirit was either with or upon somebody, and now it's within somebody. So you see, that is another part of the building block of faith. So we're beginning to build a little wall here, if you will, concerning what we can stand on and what we believe and what we know. But sometimes it comes with a price, because Paul still talks about the sufferings. And if anybody could talk about the sufferings for Christ, it was him. Because it seems like when he got called and chosen and picked for a specific job, one of the greatest, or maybe the greatest thing that man could be offered, was someone that was going to receive mystery truth. It's someone that was going to finish or fulfill the word of God. And it was him. And he was dogged seemed like almost every step of the way. He was dogged by something, one thing or the other, by men or even the elements or even things that, you know, ordinarily you wouldn't think about.
Yeah, when Ananias told him, and when God told him, I'll show you what things you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
For my name's sake, he was not kidding.
No, and you sometimes wonder if he didn't stand there and say, Lord, that ought to be enough.
You know, he probably did.
But still, you know, that's.
Well, I remember he prayed for the one to be removed three times, the thorn in the flesh.
Yeah, and it was.
God said, no.
It was never done. Absolutely. So, we're getting involved here in the study already without, reading a bit of scripture, but nevertheless, it's good to, a good thing to kind of lay this out so you get some idea of what we're getting involved with. And so we're going to pick up, as I said, with verse 32 and we'll go on and then we'll get involved a little ways in the faith chapter, in chapter 11, because Paul has said in the fifth chapter that these Hebrews were supposed to do the teaching of God, but they need somebody to teach them. And he picked it up and he's still laying it on them, folks. And he's still laying it on them. And if it was written early on, and it might have been the third or fourth epistle that he penned, you know, he had a lot to say to them because they had forgotten, by the situation that they had been in under all these rulers and all these people that wasn't in God's stead. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. So Paul was taking them to school again. And so this is where we get. This is where we at. 32 says this in chapter 10, in Hebrews. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. And I think I've caught Ronnie's lips thing. I can't even read tonight, but,
it's bad disease.
It must be going around. And it says, but call to remembrance. Keep in mind your history always, because the things that God had laid down before to those people through his prophets were something that they just didn't need to throw off in the trash pile somewhere. It was something because all these things were written, we understand, for our understanding. Even if they weren't written to us or for us, they were written for our understanding. Even if it was written to someone else. And this is Paul speaking to the Hebrews here. But call to remembrance or keep in mind your history always the former days or those days that have gone by in which after ye were or having been illuminated. And the word illuminated is 5461 in the Strong's in the Greek, and it's only used this one place in scripture. Only used one time to be illuminated. What does that mean to us? Well, if you look it up, it says to shine, to enlighten, or make to see. And that's the way we get illuminated. God gives us the opportunity to make, to see. He sends someone or sends the urge by the Holy Spirit for us to read and to understand that we might be made to see. Because again, that's one of those building blocks of faith. If you can't see that, then you're at a great disadvantage, because that's the only way we can know God, because we have never seen him. You and I have never seen him. Only a short number of people, when he was here on the earth in the form of our kinsman redeemer, they were the only ones that got to see God in any form. We can't see the Father, and we can't see the Holy Spirit. But we can know the Father is there, we can know he's alive, and we can feel the Holy Spirit in our being. Because now, he dwells within man. He either used to be with or upon in the form of our GPS. And our GPS is God's perfect Son, by the way. And that's our guiding system.
Amen.
That is our in-body guidance system. Whether you know it or not, having been saved, you have that guidance there that should guide and direct you in your life, in your thoughts. And it is supposed to take away the hatred, because you know, and I want to point this out to you, that hatred always corrodes the vessel that contains it. Okay? You know what the antidote is to it? Love. Love is the saving ingredient that keeps that vessel forever, or gives it the opportunity to be a forever thing.
Amen.
Now, if you don't learn anything else tonight, keep that in mind the rest of your life, because that is a wonderful thing that he has given to us. That's part of our illumination. That's part of our light, okay? And to enlighten or to make to see, in the Greek word, if I can pronounce it, is photidzo. Photidzo. That's the word illuminated. So it says this again, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured or took upon yourself a great fight of afflictions, which we call sufferings. Because Christ said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. And that's just the way it is. Because we live in a world of hate. There's more hate there than there is love. And that's the reason I wanted to point out that thought that was there before. Then we go down to 33. And 33 says, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them, were so used. That were so used. So, you know, if you look at the words in the companion part of the companion Bible, partly there is the word indeed. And whilst is we're in. And I don't want you to say, well, Cece, you're rewriting scripture. Well, no, I'm just trying to make it understandable to you in the sense of we have been given men that have spent their whole life in study. They are a lot more educated in the word than I am. But listen to this. Indeed, wherein you were made a gazing stock. Does that sound reasonable? 2301 in the Strong's, and it is to be exposed as a spectacle. You know, if you're a gazing stock, people, there's something about you that gets the attention of someone. So, but the word says in 32, if you can remember or keep in mind your history and all this stuff, and you become illuminated, then you're a light. You have lightened yourself up to the point that they're paying attention. Because you see, darkness is the opposite of that, and those that want to do or go the other way love the darkness. They don't love the light. But when you're illuminated and you're lightened into God's word, then they might look at you as a gazing stock because you ain't like them. And that's to be exposed as a spectacle in two ways, Paul says. And he's telling these Hebrews, look, if they see that you're different and they pay that attention, it can be one or two ways. It can be two ways. It can be by reproaches or afflictions. And reproaches is insulting languages. They might curse you because you're a Christian. They might curse you because you want to put forth the word of God. Well, yep, that happens a lot. That's reproaches. Now, what's afflictions? Afflictions there is our human perils. And believe you me, the Apostle Paul knew what human perils was. Because he's mentioned it several times in his other epistles that he was in perils by not only the weather, not only by the different things, but also by his countrymen.
Here's 2 Corinthians 11.
Yeah, okay. So you see, approaches and afflictions, two ways, and it says, and also it uses that partly whilst again, and indeed wherein you became companions, brothers or sisters to them that were so used or were made to live that way or with it. Because if you're standing up for the word of God, if you're standing up for Christ, and they don't like it, you can be afflicted with the language and the perils, even maybe your own family, that you have to live with it sometimes. You can't get away from it. Paul always spoke love and God's word together. And he always suffered, but he had to live with it. And many times it put him in prison.
Yep.
And so he had to live with it. So that's 33. Trying to get ahead of myself again. Then verse 34 says, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So Paul is saying, you had compassion or you had sympathy of me, Paul. And Paul was a prisoner, and, you know, we read that he was a prisoner much more than probably when this epistle was written. So he was talking about imprisonments, So it wasn't long into his ministry when God called him on the Damascus Road, so he began to know what imprisonments was. And there's different ways of being imprisoned. I was watching today when they sentenced Mr. Trump's attorney. And he says today, when he got up before the judge, he says, today I'm free. Because he had been drawn in to all the surroundings, and now he's kind of ashamed of what he got involved in. But that's the way the world works. You can get sucked in. Maybe not meaning to do so. But, you know, Paul was put in jail. And God let him out some of those times right quick. But some of those times he had to stay a while. But he says, in my bonds and took joy, the extortions, the spoiling of your goods, the extortion of your goods, knowing or understanding in yourselves within your dwellings. Even where I'm at. And even you in your house, you know that you have a dwelling in heaven, and that is your inheritance, a better and an enduring and an ongoing substance that is the Holy Spirit that keeps us evermore moving on and doing the will of God. Because if you've been called to do something, God will give you the way to do it, one way or the other. You may have to take on the world. You may have to be illumined in a dark place. But that's where we are. Sometimes we wonder, well, why did he choose me? Or why did he choose me and I'm in this place? It doesn't seem like, you know, he's got a lot going on. Well, maybe he's given you the opportunity to put it forward, to make it go on. So he says in 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. If you lose confidence in God, then you've lost part of the building blocks that you need to stand on in your faith. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Because God has made promises that he's going to keep. In 35, he says, cast not away, or save, therefore. And therefore, it's talking about the above mentioned inheritance in the verse before. That you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. That is an inheritance. Your confidence. Your boldness. The Holy Spirit can give us boldness that we maybe didn't know we had. You know, a lot of times we get, having been in the fire service a long time, you know, we get the adrenaline rush sometimes, or we get in a situation where we have to do certain things in a hurry or quickly. And you know, we call it a surge of our
adrenaline
to get us going to do that. Well, this is probably the same thing that the Holy Spirit uses at times to give us this energy or this boldness to do that, which we couldn't think we could do for the Lord. He says, which has great recompense. What does that mean? That means value beyond what words can express. If you're doing something that God wants you to do, even if you've never seen Him, but you know by hearing and by reading or understanding that He wants it done, that's value beyond what words can express. I couldn't even think I could explain that to you. But He calls it a recompense of reward. It's a value of a reward that's greater than anything we can imagine.
Yeah.
Because we can't fully appreciate that. Then verse 36 says, for ye have need of patience. Again, the word patient crops up with Paul. And if anybody knew what patience was, surely he did. And what it can do for you through the will of God doing His will through man. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. So there's a payment for those things. God has made it in a promise, and He has never made a promise that He couldn't keep.
Amen.
So because you've need of patience, the ability to endure unto the end. In the Old Testament, it was enduring to the end. But in today's vernacular, it is believing God without fail. That you just place that trust in Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's believing God without fail. That after you have or having done the will of God, that you might or may receive or be involved in whatever promise it is that God has made that you might benefit from. Isn't that great?
Amen.
In 37, it says this, for yet, that goes along with patience. Patience and yet kind of goes along together. A little while. Yeah, that's patience. We want to do it immediately. We want everything, and we want it now. That's man.
See, God's, here, before you go on, is another hint of the writing date of the book of Hebrews. Because he, like so many of his other earlier books, like Thessalonians, we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, here he says, just a little while longer, just not going to be long. So it sort of dates the writing of the book for me. This is one of the key
verses. Kind of dovetails it in with the earlier
book. The other early Acts epistles that Paul wrote.
Okay. So, yeah, okay.
And see, Tony even says, the little while is in the Greek is micron. We know what a micron is.
Right.
It's a very small little while.
It says, for yet or because in a little while, a very little time, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. So the coming there,
almost over.
Because Paul has understood that Christ came here and that Christ was with them for the 40 days after he was put on the cross. and they saw him and that he went back, but he made the promise that he would return. And so that is his words that he certainly shall return. Now verse 38 and 39 begins the faith chapter, believe it or not. And how are we doing on time? Not too bad.
10 after 9.
Okay. So, 38, it's a quote from Habakkuk. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not. Everybody laughs when I say that word in that book in the Old Testament. But this is where this part of the quote is taken from. And it says in Habakkuk 2:4, now the just or the righteous shall live by this faith, which is the word faith is pistis. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So you see there's a situation there of the drawing back or the walking away from, literally, what God had wanted you to do. If you're in that position, if he has, and these Hebrew children, these Hebrew people had been given promises and things that were made to them and carried on their life in such a way that they had basically forgotten what God had promised to them. Then you see how bad a shape they were in. If they couldn't remember the words of God, if they didn't know the words that God had spoken to their fathers and forefathers, what kind of people would these be that God could use if they didn't make it to the end, if they didn't go on to the end? Because all of these prophets talked about keeping it to the end. You was not supposed to die, you know, without keeping God in your mind and in your being, whether he dwelt within or upon. He said, my soul shall have no pleasure in that person.
And if you look at that verse too, and understand what James says in his epistle that was written seemingly
right along the
same time. Even the do what not to do doctrine is very similar.
Yeah.
The wording is similar.
And verse 39 also says this, and that will finish chapter 10. It says, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition. You know, you don't start something, and you don't start it for God and then say, no, I'm not going to do it. That's not good. But of them that believe, to the saving of the individual,
amen,
of the soul. So we are not of them or counted as them who draw back or withdraw unto or into or to go within perdition as the son of an antichrist or one who would give obedience to idols. God said there'd be no other gods but me. Okay? But of them that believe Jesus Christ to the saving of the soul or that being. And this is basically, these last two verses that I just read are basically the introduction to the faith chapter. So now.
Yeah, I would agree. It almost seems like they belong more with chapter 11.
Yeah.
It's like we just read 11, 1 and 2.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, we didn't lay the structure of this book out. God had it made that way. And so we have to take it, you know, for what it says, regardless of where the chapter and verse is. And so we get down to chapter 11. Everybody calls this the faith chapter. And faith in the Hebrew is 529, and it's pronounced enimon, enimon. And it means established, trusted truth. Establish trusted truth. Okay? And then in the New Testament, it's pistis, 4102 in the Greek. And it means persuasion, credence, and conviction for truth and belief of seeing or hearing. Wait a minute. Cecil, you just said earlier in your study, it wasn't for seeing. But see, when he came and he stayed on this earth for 33 years, they were those that saw him and saw his works and saw his deeds. And they were those that after he went back in the heaven, they had the power to make these miracles and powerful things take place that could be seen now. You got it? So it's not only hearing now, but it's hearing and seeing for a period of time. That didn't last too long, but it lasted long enough that it should have made an impression on the world that would never forget it. But it didn't seem like that worked that way. But yet, we have the word in the book that it happened and that it took place. And so I wanted to make that point clear that, you know, that now in the Greek, it's seeing and hearing because Christ did show up. He was our kinsman redeemer. He did do many wonderful, miraculous things. And also, he gave to those for a period of time that followed him and did his will and did his work. They could do miraculous things in even the shadow of Peter. Could heal people.
Yes,
Christ didn't have a shadow, by the way, but Peter did. And that shadow could heal because that shadow was a glint of darkness with power. And man in his state on this earth is in the darkness. But God can give him the power in the shadow that he lives in. And that's what it means. I think that was my definition of that, was that God could give man power even in the shadow of the sin that's all around him.
Amen.
Because when Christ comes,
it brings light.
when Christ came and was put in the womb of Mary, that single cell of God, which was God and is God, overshadowed and overtook the sin that was in Mary's system, and that when he came forth, he was still sinless. He didn't have sin. He didn't have a shadow. Whoo! That should make chills run up and down your back. That is the God that sent the gift. And the gift was his son. Let's read one or two. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, yeah, but it kind of changed a little bit for a little while. God always gives a taste of the wonderful things, even though sometimes we aren't willing and able to see it that way. But this was that early ministry on when Christ ascended back into the heavens. He made it plain to these few people that I am with you and I am going to give you the ability to show people even after I'm gone, that I am still alive and that I'm still in charge.
And that's why he left the power.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He gave them the power, and they could demonstrate the power that they had it. And these other guys, you know, in the Acts period, they wanted to buy the power. They wanted that.
They did greater things even than Christ did.
Yeah. So verse 2. And verse 2 is kind of when we're looking at this, we say, well, maybe this is verse 4 if we take the other two verses. But verse 2 kind of lays out for us in the sense. The things that we're going to talk about as we go down the line here, and we're going to talk about these people in the next 2 or 3 weeks or whenever it is that we do them, this is the faith principle. And it says, for by it, and we're talking about faith here. For by this faith pistis, it is the substance it is the words hypostasis. It is God's word. It is when God speaks, he might speak one word or he might speak the sentence, but generally it's called God's word. Whether it be a kind of a long dissertation or whether it be just one word, it is still derived and comes from the same roots. God has a system employed and it doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. The words change around some and we use figures of speech some, and God has allowed man to use figures of speech in his word, but still, it's from the same root. Regardless of what language you speak, generally comes from the same root. So it is the subject of things hoped for and things not seen. And it says, by it, the elders, the fathers of Israel, obtained or were borne witness to. And you're going to hear that over and over again. They were borne witness to. They were made to understand or given to understand these words that they could convey to others, that we might know the will of God within His plan and purpose for this earth or this world.
Yeah.
We were born witness by God's spokesman or hearing God Himself speak. A good report. It was never a bad report. The root works of God is always done in love and reverence. Now sometimes He got mad. Well, guess what? Sometimes we do too. And sometimes God feels like, and does, need to take vengeance. And we understand that He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. If He requires, and Ronnie's been doing the blood study, and He always required, most of the time, blood for blood. That blood needed to be dignified by the fact that somebody had to pay in that sense. And so that's where we are. So it says, for by it, for by this faith principle, by this wall that we have built to stand on of God's word concerning these words, that we understand what faith is. And that we can stand on it because it's God's word. And it said, and those that came before Paul were borne witness to it. And because they did it, they got, ever how they got it, they got it. And they got a good report because it wasn't a bad report.
Couldn't be with him.
Well, let's do verse 3 and we'll close for tonight. Verse 3 says this, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
I was going to say, you picked a doozy to stop on.
Man. Okay. So through faith, we're on this wall of faith now, the pistos. Truth, we understand. We obtain knowledge by hearing. That the worlds there is plural. And when you look up world, it means ages. Well, we need to talk about that a minute. And by saying that, it is a difference in this age spoken by Paul and the coming age, which is now. Paul was speaking in a former dispensation. Now, you know, age, dispensation, You know, that's words that are from the root. Okay? And this is called suntilia, meaning the end of one age and the beginning of another one. And this is what we've been doing in Hebrews. Because when Christ came and he hung on the cross and he made the old sacrifices of none effect, because he says, and it was given to Paul, that God didn't care for this blood business very much. But that was the way it was set up, and he said he had made a promise that they would be a better one. And so when Christ hung on the cross and he came down and he, with his blood and his body, appeared before the Father. And he made that sacrifice there in the Holy of Holies, and Father accepted that. Then that was the end of the blood sacrifices for man, because his Son had paid the price. Satan thought he had him on the cross, but guess what? The Son paid the price for all that Satan had caused to be done down through the aeons and the ages, from one age to the other age. Not necessarily from one world to another world, but from age to age to age. You got it? Do you understand that? Okay. The suntilia, meaning the end of one age and the beginning of another one. They were framed. And I want you to look at that for just a minute. The word framed is 2675. In the Strong's. And it means to be prepared by a part of. Think about it a minute. When you say, okay, let's go out, we're going to frame this house. You use different sticks to make the framework. And it takes several of them to make the skeletal part. Yeah. Well, you know, when God showed up and he said, let us, well, man didn't know what us meant at that time. But God knew that it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the parts that made the whole. That's where the framing begins. See, God had the idea to use his Son to do that part of the framework that died and gave that blood, that we wouldn't have to do this anymore. And so that framework was hidden in God as another mystery, if you will, to the point to where Satan said on the cross, I've got him. And God said, let me tell you the rest of the story, boy. And so when you see the word where it says, and we're going to read it again, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. You know, God asked Job a lot of questions about the foundation, but we're talking about the framework now. You see, God didn't make man a building when he run him out of the garden. He didn't make him a building. He clothed his rear end and he set all this food in place and he says, you're on your own. And man had to learn how to frame up what was here to use, what was here to construct or to build or to fabricate for himself a abode to live in. And God says, well, you know, it took the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to frame the world in such a way that we can use it as a dwelling place for us forever. And without either one, it wouldn't be complete. You got it? Everybody got what it means to frame something, to frame the worlds? Okay. Let's read on. Prepared by a part, by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be perfect or perfect joined together. You see that when we become a part of the body of Christ, we're going to be reframed. We're going to become part of Christ's framework that he gave up to frame the world. Woo! You know, you get these little bits and pieces of great things in the Word here that sometimes we don't see. By the Word of God. And the Word of God is a saying rather than a single word. It's full strength in its effect. So that things, or to the end, or the things which are seen, that is by the eyes, were not made by the things, these ages were not made by the things which doth appear. And we need to read in the Companion Bible on the word appear. The word is phanio. And it means the reference is not to creation, but to the ordering by God of the dispensations, each of which succeeded, but did not spring from its predecessor, as a plant does from its seed. By rendering aeonios as worlds here, and that's katathisma, as framed instead of prepared, and yomiai as made instead of came into being or came to pass. The meaning of this important statement is lost.
Yep, by the translation.
By the translation.
Butchered so, in the translation.
You see, if you use it in the sense of the way it was done and the way it was laid out and the way it came about, then it makes great sense that we realize and we understand that God framed it for mankind. And we find in here that God, that Abraham looked for a city whose maker and builder was God. And that's nowhere else in Scripture, but we understand that even all of the framing that he done, he did it through his Son. What we stand on, all our being come from that Son. And guess what? When he appears, we're gonna see him. Then we're gonna, never having seen him before, but we're going to see him because he appeared before God for us. And so this time when he appears, he's going to appear for us before God. And we're going to be part of him, and we're going to be made a part of his body in a living situation of a framework that we can rule and reign with him forever.
Yeah, that's a...
That's deep stuff.
That's an important verse.
Yeah, that's about as...
The dispensations were prepared by the Lord God. He didn't...
No, but... But see, but when he makes the change, we can understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if we can't see it, we can understand
right.
it in that sense. So that's the wonderful thing about being a part of God in the sense of being part of his body, and the fact that he gives us that understanding and that knowledge, because I think this is what many of the denominational people just don't get. They don't understand.
They don't see any dispensations.
No.
It's all one big.
Yeah, it's just, this is the way I've always done it. My grandpa done it. My great-grandpa done it. And I'm going to do it.
Yeah, even though something changed to change the way God deals with man, they just don't ever recognize
it. They just don't recognize and see it.
Yeah.
In that sense. So, thank you for hanging with me, and thank you for the way I do it, but that's the way God chose me to teach, and so I just kind of have to follow directions that way.
Connie said, great job. Shout, just don't jump pews. You're too old.
I got you.
Amen. Amen, hey, Connie. I agree with you on that one. I'll keep you from jumping any pews.
I got you. But we see and understand. A lot of times it's hard to get it in our minds how God works, but it's not a one sit down time way that things are done, because from age to age or dispensation to dispensation, things changed. And we need to continue to ask the question and to ask God to guide and direct us and to what his plan and purpose is for us, each individual person. Because salvation is an individual thing. And all people aren't saved. I hate to say that, but all people aren't saved. But they have been forgiven, they just haven't seen that. That's all that they can hear it, but they just haven't seen it. So thank you for your time, and thank you for your love, and continue to pray for us. And may the Lord bless you. It's good to have been here tonight.
Amen.